week, I want to step right into an understanding of the prophetic gifts. And what I mean by that is the word prophecy stands for something very specific, which we'll talk about. We did define some of that last week, but there are gifts that are revelatory in nature. These gifts that God gives are supernatural gifts that have a voice to them. So we have to speak them out in order for them to have a place among the body of Christ and or the world that we're a part of. And as God gives them to us, it's important that we understand how they function and what we're receiving at the time that we're receiving it so that we know how to share it with people. And there's a way to go about doing that. There's a way to share prophetic words in the church. There's a way to share prophetic words in the world, and it is different. And so in this environment, we actually get to talk about that. And as we go over the prophetic gifts, I want to say that there are several revelatory gifts that are supernatural that God causes us to receive. They're ministry gifts that are words for other people. Prophecy is to see, it's to hear, and it's to speak from God's mind and perspective. All three components are important. We see, we hear, and we speak from God's mind, his heart, his perspective, that which is to come or that which is already true. And within that realm, there are three or four primary gifts that the Bible discusses. And there are other things to talk about, which we'll have several weeks to go over. But tonight, I want to talk to you just about these prophetic gifts. We'll define them. I'll describe them to you. I'll give you examples. We'll do some whiteboard stuff, and then we'll demonstrate it so that you have a good understanding of how it works. And the goal is to be able to see through a grid, that when you pray, as God deposits stuff into your mind and heart for people, you know what he's categorically, what he's saying. Is it past? Is it present? Is it future? A lot of times when people receive something of knowledge or somebody's past, we tend to get overwhelmed with the supernatural component. Oh, I did not know that. That person may be crying or gets excited, and you maybe just get ecstatic that God gave you something really incredible about somebody's past, and you miss the whole point of what that was for. That was actually a key to open a door so that you could go and minister in healing and other things that God would want you to ask for if you would know how it kind of works. And so a lot of times God gives some gifts so that other ones could be asked for and the person could receive a full benefit or ministry. Does it make sense what I'm saying? Let's just sort of go into it, and I'll describe it that way. But the first passage that we want to use, this may be the only passage that we work from, I'm not sure, but it's in 1 Corinthians 12, verse 4 through 11. I'll read it, and it's on your paper, you all have that. So, now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of ministries in the same Lord. There are varieties of effects, the way that they are brought forth. But the same God who works all things in all persons. So God is the one that's doing all this, but these things look differently through different people. Isn't that a blessing? We don't all have to look the same, dress the same, speak the same, or act the same. But God works it all in all persons. But to each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. So gifts are given, these gifts that we're about to read about, are given for the benefit of somebody else. So when he's talking about the gift of healing is not given to you to heal your body. The gift of healing is given to you so that you can give it away to somebody else. So the purpose of God giving us spiritual gifts is that he wants us to be carriers of gifts to give away to other people. Right? Isn't that a good Christmas? Oh, no, don't open these. These are actually for you to give away to somebody else. See, no, that wouldn't be good to do that with your kids, but if you were walking with God's heart, which you all are, then that's the blessing, is that it's better to give than to receive. And so that's the whole point of spiritual gifts. And we get it twisted whenever we are wanting spiritual gifts to validate who we are, our personality, our ministry, or how special we are to God. Anytime you're looking for some measure of spirituality to make you feel better about you, that's the wrong point of receiving them in the first place. They're all for the common good. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, and to another the word of knowledge according to the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, and to another gifts of healing by the one Spirit, and to another the effecting of miracles, and to the another prophecy, and to another distinguishing of spirits, and another the various kinds of tongues. There are actually several. And to another the interpretation of those tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually just as he wills. Now, let me just explain some context for you about this church. The Church of Corinth is about 6 years old. Okay, Paul planted this church. He had a hand in them becoming Christians and them starting their faith out. And Paul actually says that when this church was started, they were started in the power of the Holy Spirit. In chapters 1, 2, and 3, he actually says to them very clearly, among you are many that are eloquent in the way that they communicate. They can speak very well. But when I came to you, Paul's saying, when I came to you, I did not come to you with eloquence of speech, but I came to you in the demonstration of the Spirit's power. And one of the ways that the Holy Spirit demonstrates his power is through prophecy and supernatural words that we could not know except that God deposited them in us. And it proves that God is among us because these are things that by the foreknowledge of God, only he could know, and we're just recipients. So he says that to him very clearly, I came to you in the demonstration of power. And so this was a church that was started in power, and they kind of took off on that and went crazy, and I think it's in chapter 10 or 11 of 1 Corinthians where Paul says, when you gather together, you do more harm than good. So what they did was being established in God's power at the birth of this church, so being a new believer, and then Paul having taken off to plant other churches, they sort of went crazy, and their meeting places were times where there was confusion, and people were thinking that very thing when they would come in. So they weren't the evangelistic center that every church is meant to become. They were just a place where gifts were being distributed. People are speaking in tongues like crazy. People are prophesying like crazy. But the purpose and the point of these gifts were being lost. That's why he's saying very clearly, that's why the best teaching on spiritual gifts is in 1 Corinthians to a people that was functioning in gifts like crazy, but they needed to have some order to their function. So it's different for those that aren't functioning. If you are not moving in power or spiritual gifts, the teaching that Paul would have given you would probably have been different. This was a whole remedial letter to people that were doing it wrong. And he doesn't say stop doing it. He's just saying, as you're doing it, let's add some purpose to what you're doing. Let's put some points to why you're doing it. Does this make sense? And so sometimes when people are not moving in spiritual gifts or power, they use 1 Corinthians to sort of say things to other people. That's just illegal. This was a letter to people who were already doing something. This wasn't a letter to people that weren't doing something. So it's really hard contextually to apply this letter to a people that have no fire at all, if that makes sense. And so I've just watched people misuse this letter over and over again. But again, he's saying God moves through different ones in different ways, but these gifts are all the same, and God is the same God that's in control of the whole situation. When they gathered, each one would have a prophecy, each one would have a tongue, each one would have an interpretation. This is what the gathering of believers was like. They were smaller gatherings and homes where everybody would minister one to another. Somebody would teach, somebody would minister, somebody would prophesy. It was regular, it was normal. It's not like church today. Church today is there usually are professional stage ministers. People come, people sit, people worship, people listen, people go home. That's not how the church was. The church was very participatory. It was very active. People were involved. They had to do something, which is why we need to reclaim that part of church so that people don't get bored. I mean, one of the reasons why people say they don't come to church is because they're bored. But then when you start doing stuff, then they don't want to serve and they don't want to do stuff. So it can become an excuse. It can become an excuse, but that doesn't mean that it's totally a wrong statement, okay? If we start people in the power of the Spirit, if we start people in understanding serving, if we start people somewhere, it's better that way than if we start people just to sit and listen, and that's all that you contribute besides raising your hands or putting something in the offering plate. But Paul is talking to a very active church, which is very different from the way we do church today. So you have to sort of gather that. But he mentions several of these gifts. Now, again, they're a six-year-old church, so they're not very old Christians, and they're not doing things properly, so he's bringing correction and instruction to them. And while he's doing that, he's actually describing and defining what they're experiencing because they didn't fully know. They have all these gifts that are being that are going out. They're supernatural in nature, but that doesn't mean they understood them. So that's why right here he's saying, hey, they're for the common good. And here's actually what these gifts are. This one, this one, this one, this one, and this one. I'm only going to go over the speaking type gifts other than teaching, but the ones that are in here that are speaking type gifts. And the first gift is the discerning of spirits. You'll see it there. He calls it the distinguishing of spirits, which is basically the same word as discern. You distinguish one thing from another. It's been said, and I use it the same way. The discerning of spirits, I have it here, is this gift is the ability to determine the source of something, words, teaching, ministry, as being from the Holy Spirit, the human soul, or demonic power. God gives this gift so that a person can listen to what somebody is saying and they can discern whether it's God, whether it's a demonic power, or whether it's just a human soul. There are three realms of these kinds of things can come from, and God gives that for that reason. So if we know, we may not know specifically that it's which category it is when somebody's sharing, but we can know that's not God. Doesn't mean it's demonic, it just means it's not the Lord. And so in these times, and in our times, we need to know. We need to know which one's God. And I think discerning of spirits needs to be more about locating God than it does about locating the enemy or locating, oh, that's just that person. You know, we need to learn how to discern things. People say when they fill out a spiritual gifts test, the number one gift that people say they have is always discerning of spirits. And I have no idea why, because that is the farthest thing from the truth. I've seen some people function in this the way that I would consider it to be biblical. Because when I talk about these gifts, I'm not talking about the low level of these gifts. When Jesus demonstrated what these look like, they were supernatural, highly supernatural in nature. And Jesus is always the standard for the gift. That doesn't mean that we have to be where he is overnight. So there's no guilt. It's just saying that if we're believing that what God has for us is a whole lot less than what Jesus walked in, then we're off. Okay, so when Jesus prophesied, when Jesus discerned things, for example, the Bible says that Jesus knew what was in their thoughts. Now, we don't know what people are thinking, but God can help us when we're aligned with him for his purposes, not just to have fun or to be weird or to feel spiritual, but for the common good. God can give us something so that we can see what we need to see and we can discern what we need to discern to actually help people. This gift is to help people. The whole reason that God would give you discernment of spirits is so that you can help people. You can help people get set free. You can help people understand what's not God in their life. People are walking down roads that they think is God, and you can come along and you can share things with them. And when God speaks, it sticks. You don't have to prove that it's him. It sticks. God has a way of his word going in deep. And so discerning of spirits is a powerful gift that we've lost. I have been able to have this. I believe all these gifts can be ours in situations. It doesn't mean that you walk with all of the gifts all the time, but God gives these gifts situationally. As we gather together or as you need them, you don't call sister so-and-so or brother whoever when you need God to show up in a certain way. You call on the Lord. So he lives inside of you. But that means that you can be used in these. It doesn't mean that you carry these all the time. Everybody has a unique DNA. They have a unique usefulness in the kingdom that God uses them with. And he does give resident gifts that remain with you that you cultivate. He can change those, though, so because we're not the ones that are in charge of that. It's really up to him. God gives spiritual gifts for his purposes, not for ours. That's why taking a spiritual gifts test can be actually cause you harm, because you think if you self-diagnose yourself, you can choose the wrong thing and be completely gullible about what you really have. And you're not always the best person to diagnose yourself. You know what I'm talking about? There are people that tell me they have discernment, and they're the least discerning person that I know. I mean it. I'm like, you are not, I'm not putting them down. I'm just saying that's not what you function in typically. Now, if God's used you in that, great. I just haven't seen it. There are people that tell me that they have the gift of prophecy. I've just never seen it. Now, let's just be real clear. If one of the ways to judge whether or not somebody has something is by the fact that they are doing it, I think that's a fairly safe way to determine that you might have something. If you're good at something, I might see it. But but we shouldn't be describing ourselves as something that we don't ever do. Oh, God gives me prophetic words all the time. You just don't even know. I don't know. You're right. That's the first right thing you said. God bless you. Yes. So it's funny because it's true. Isn't that it just goes in, ouch, ouch. Anyhow, discernment is a powerful gift, and I'm going to move past that because I'm going to do a thing on discernment in a little while. The second gift that the Lord gives is the word of knowledge, and we're going to go through these at the end, but the word of knowledge is a supernatural message that provides information about something or someone that's obviously made known by the Holy Spirit, and knowledge always speaks of the past. It has a touch of the current circumstance, but knowledge always speaks of what is and what was. It's not a prophetic word. A prophetic word, I'll get into that, is always about the future. Prophecy means to foretell and foretell, and I'll explain that in a minute. But the word of knowledge is that God will show up in a way, he'll deposit into you like a vision, an impression, a supernatural word of knowledge that you'll have in your mind. You'll be thinking it. It could be a thought about somebody or something that is what has happened, okay? Now, this happens to me quite a bit. I mean, I've explained a lot of this to you guys where it happens to me. I'll even have a vision while I'm praying for somebody about a situation that happened in their life. Maybe it could be 6 months ago. It could be 10 years ago. We had somebody that's not here tonight, but she was here last week, and the Lord put a word of knowledge in my mind about when she was 16 and what something that was going on when she was 16. And I asked her. She shook her head, so I'm pretty sure she was telling the truth, but it was when she was 16. Matter of fact, when I was actually explaining how the word of knowledge works to my wife before we were married, I said to her, I said, this is the way that it works, and it's kind of scary in a way because I've freaked a few people out, and I've watched it happen over time. Even when I'm just demonstrating, I could just be making some stuff up. So with my wife, I'm sitting there on the couch, and I'm just making it up. Absolutely, this is absolute truth. She's not here, but you can talk to her about this. It was freaky. And I'm like, well, the word of knowledge is like this. It's like when, for example, when you were 15 years old, you got into a dispute with your dad, and that caused you to run away, and then your dad came and found you within a day or two, and you guys reconciled, and your relationship has never gone back ever since. You've been strong in a progressive relationship ever since that time. And she went like this, and I was just doing this was kind of an example that I was pulling out of thin air. We weren't married. I had no clue about what it was like when she was 15. Her eyes get big, and she got the phone and called her mom and asked exactly when that happened. And her mom told her the exact age, which is exactly what I had just said a minute or two before she called her mom. So what's scary about it is I literally guessed. I pulled it out of thin air, and somehow God, the touch of God was actually on that. And there are levels of the word of knowledge, which, again, I'm going to talk about with you, and nothing happens without risk. You cannot stand around and wait for God to download into your hard drive all of this stuff, and then, when you're absolutely secure that it's Him, somehow step out on it. That doesn't take much faith. To just have a huge download from God on all this stuff and then just, oh, well, I'm just going to read to you like a reader board what God just put in my mind. A lot of this stuff starts really small, and it's hard to explain because you grow into it. So outside of you doing some of this, I really can't describe it other than to say God will give you a faint impression or a small little picture that sometimes seems insignificant. And when you step out on that, you'll be out on the water in the middle of the lake before you know it, and God will be using you in an incredible way. Now, you're going to make some mistakes along the way because your relationship with God, your union with Him might not be super close, and you're just sort of not really where you need to be. But during that time, as you grow in the Lord, you can be used of God at higher and higher levels, and you can't determine when that's going to be. You don't get to decide what He gives you. You just get to be a person that asks. And as you pursue the Lord to help people, not, again, to feel validated or to feel spiritual, but as you pursue the Lord with these gifts to feel to be helpful and beneficial to other people, you'll watch God give you incredibly accurate things. And I've seen people just go right onto like a level 10 word of knowledge, and everybody's like scary. It's like, that's crazy. And I've watched people's lives be changed by one word. The fact that God was so present through another person, has I've seen it change people's lives absolutely, completely. And it's powerful. But there's an example of the word of knowledge in John chapter 4, verse 15, where Jesus is at, he's at a well and he's thirsty, and his guys had gone into the city. The disciples had left him there, and he's talking to this woman. And here it says in verse 15, the woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water," because he had just had an interaction with her about living water. He said, "Will you get me some water?" And she's like, "I'm a Samaritan." And he's like, "I know that." He's like, "If you knew who I was, you would ask me of the gift of God, and I would give you living water." So this like this spiritual parable, and she's confused, and he's not. It's a great time with Jesus. And the woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water, this living water. I don't want to ever have to come back to the well and drink again," as she's thinking. "So I will not be thirsty nor come all the way here to draw." He said to her, "Go call your husband and come here." And the woman answered and said, "I have no husband." And Jesus said to her, you're right. You don't have a husband. For you've had five husbands, and the one whom you now have is not your husband. And this you have truly said. The woman said to him, "Sir, I think you're a prophet." And here's a biblical word of knowledge, okay? Sometimes in church, you'll see people say, somebody has a back problem, all right? And so everybody over like 45 stands up, okay? So it's just like, you know, I mean, and I'm not against that because I've seen genuine miracles and healings from that level. That might be level one. I feel like somebody has this kind of thing. Another, like a higher level would be like your friend, Jesse. Whose friend is that? Oh, anyways, we were in the office praying for some of the people that had come in, and I think it's Megan's friend or a gal that she knows was there, and I looked at her, and when I looked at her, I went into a 3D vision. My eyes were just opened, and I can't explain it other than to say my eyes were open. I had a 3D vision of an x-ray of her mouth. And I've never met her before, ever. This was the first time I'd ever seen her. And it was like her jaw went open like this, because it can't happen. So obviously, this is the Lord going on here. And I could see her jaw, and there were black parts in her jaw, and there were a few of her teeth that were black, and I knew there were problem areas. And so I just said to her, that was a word of knowledge through a vision. Okay, it's not always a word. It can be a picture. And so I said to her, I said, "You have problems with your jaw and some of your teeth are affecting your jaw." And she just went, "That's absolutely right. I've had problems with my jaw that was pretty powerful. She was surprised. And everybody else there was, you were there, Carly, you were there, right? Were you? No. Yeah, she didn't even know. It was awesome. And that's a word of knowledge. That's God revealed something about what was and what is. That's not a prophecy. The prophecy wasn't, you're going to get healed, but the Lord gives a word of knowledge. When you start working with what he gives, though, see, then you take steps. He doesn't just give the word of knowledge to show that he knows things. God's pretty secure about himself and his foreknowledge. He knows that he knows everything. God's like, "For I know the plans I have for you." I'm in the know. You're not. So that's the whole idea, okay? Right? I know the plans I have for you. If we said that to each other, it'd be kind of, wouldn't be work out, but so that's what a word of knowledge is, and we'll write up here past in a second, but word of knowledge is past, and the third one we want to talk about, really the second one we're going to focus on, is the word of wisdom, and that's really refers to a lot of the present. But definition is a supernatural word or message that provides a wise strategy or method that can be, bring an applied or be applied in a targeted situation. Okay, it's a supernatural strategy, a wise strategy about a situation you have going on in your life. Like for example, my wife and I were going through some things with our kids, and we didn't know what to do. We had exhausted our resources and our knowledge. We completely exhausted what we knew how to do. And I was driving down the street towards my house, and I'm in the middle of this thought, and I get this crazy download of thoughts into my mind. And I'm thinking, in the middle of about a 3-minute segment of this download, I'm like, "This is God." But that doesn't, you don't always know that it's him, okay? But I had known, because I had tried everything that I knew, I had known at that moment that this had to be the Lord, because I could never have thought this up. There's no what, no amount of smarts or whatever it is that I have could actually have devised this kind of strategy. It was very long term in its approach or its effect, but it had to be applied now. So I told her, I called her, and she said, "That's a really good idea." She put it into practice. She actually did what I said I feel like we need to do. She did it, and the effect has been beneficial for us ever since. And that's a true testimony from receiving from the Lord. See, we're not just trying to figure stuff out in life. God wants to speak wise strategy and methods that are from him because he knows exactly what to do in every situation of all of our lives. And he has no problem downloading those things at the right time. Now, here's the blessing of that. The reason that I felt like I received that wasn't just for me, but it really was a lot of it was for my wife because she was the one that had to immediately apply it, not just me. So I received a word of wisdom for her. When you're ministering to people and your heart is to help somebody else, God does not want to withhold these things for you for them. And that's the whole idea. If we can get our mind and our heart behind God wanting to give us this for somebody else, I believe that God would give us a whole lot more than we're receiving right now. I know he would because it changes people's lives. It shows them that God is real and in a supernatural way where they know it's not you. And God gets glory from that because a human can't take credit for that. You can try. It's embarrassing, but you're not without him supernatural. Only with him are you that kind of a person. And so you just reveal that God can do anything, even through, of course, you. So anyhow, that was cool. Acts chapter 5, verse 34 is a good place where we see the word of knowledge, and it says this. There's a situation, I'll just read it to you. But a Pharisee named Gamaliel, a teacher of the law, respected by all the people, stood up in the council and gave orders to put the men outside for a short time. And he said to them, "Men of Israel, take care of what you propose to do to these men." I think it was Peter, James, and John had been in prison because they were speaking in the name of Jesus. And obviously the Pharisees and the council were sick of them spreading the gospel because it was causing an uproar among the Jews. So they had imprisoned them and they were wondering what they should do with them and whether or not what they were saying had any truth to it. And obviously they were threatened by it because their religion was taking a hit and people were giving their lives to Jesus. So they're in prison and here's the council meeting about what they're going to do with these guys. And so this guy gets up and says, "For some time ago, Thaddeus, whoever, rose up claiming to be somebody, and a group of about 400 men joined up with him, but he was killed and all who followed him were dispersed, and they came to nothing. And after this man, Judas of Galilee, rose up in the days of the census and drew some people away after him, and he too perished. All those who followed him were scattered. So in the present case, I say to you, stay away from these men, leave them alone, for if plan or action is of men, it will be overthrown. But if it is of God, you will not be able to overthrow them, or else you may even find you're fighting against God." Tell me that that's not a word of wisdom. That this guy got the fact that if this is God, we're not going to be able to stop it. But if this is men, this will stop on its own. And he spoke at the right time what they needed to do based on wisdom from God. I believe it was from God. And I believe God downloaded that into him so his men would get let go and they could go out and spread the gospel again. But right there, you just see that, look at the wise strategy that came right then, right there. It's really powerful. And the Lord does that stuff all the time. But that's like present. A word of wisdom has to do with a wise strategy given in the present that has a long-term effect. And so, you know, word of knowledge is past. Word of wisdom has a lot to do with the present with an effect towards the future. But prophecy is about the future. So whenever you hear the word prophecy, when it's about knowledge, it's always, we need to understand the difference between these different gifts. Because if you receive something about somebody's past, you need to know also what God is saying. What's true or what was true about somebody isn't what God is necessarily saying he wants to do in their future. And so he unlocks something and opens the door so that you can ask him for more about what he wants to do in the future that's coming. And so prophecy is the final gift that we want to focus on and define and describe. And then we'll do some of this and move on. But prophecy is hearing God and speaking to people, speaking forth his thoughts, his mind, his heart under divine inspiration or empowerment. The word prophecy means to speak forth by divine inspiration, to foretell, or to declare something by divine revelation. Foretell means to tell beforehand. There's tons of examples in the Bible, New Testament, where they did this. They would foretell something that was about to happen. I believe the Lord wants to release that to us in a biblical measure. And we need to believe that's what it is, though. I mean, I'm not going after, like, how many people's back hurts in the room. I want to be able to look at somebody under God's inspiration and say, oh, you've been married before twice, and now because of those damaging relationships, you're actually you're in a cycle of seeking out another, but the Lord wants you to actually wait on him right now. See, you can actually say the knowledge aspect, and then you can start speaking to their future about what God wants to do. I want to have that measure where you can see and you can hear. Now, it takes a certain kind of prayer life. It's not just something you walk in because you're a Christian. And some people don't care to pursue these things. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 14, right here in verse 1, follow the way of love, eagerly desire spiritual gifts. And we talked about that last week. Eagerly desiring spiritual gifts is not just saying, well, if God wants me to have it, then I'll have it. That's called passivity, and it has a name, passivity, and that's not spiritual. Passivity is not spiritual. It's actually promoted from the enemy, wanting us to be a sort of lethargic and passionless people that sit on the sidelines and do nothing for other people. And that's the enemy. The enemy is not just a horned creature that shows up at Halloween and is obvious to pick off in any party. The enemy is a mastermind of planting thoughts, covering his tracks, and causing people to do nothing in the name of Jesus. That is absolutely a strategy for those that have already given themselves to Jesus. And so when it comes to spiritual gifts, one of the things the enemy wants to do is pervert them and distort them so that people want nothing to do with them. And when you want nothing to do with what God gives, the benefit that God wants to bring through you to somebody else is thwarted, and the only one that wins is the devil. So when people say, I just want to serve God, I just want to practically go serve people and that's it. I don't want anything to do with spiritual gifts because people get enamored with them. When people think like that, they're taking away the meaning of spiritual gifts. Spiritual gifts are meant to be blessings that God gives us to give away to other people, to serve other people with. So if your version of serving is somehow outside of spiritual gifts, then the best that you're going to do is you can serve with God's heart and you can serve in your own strength, but God wants to give you power tools for the job that you're on. He doesn't just want you to just exhaust yourself and burn yourself out and do the best that you can, and then when you have done all you can, just stand and be faithful. He's saying, I want to do this with you. I don't just want you to do this for me. I want you to walk with me and do this, and I'm going to give you power for the journey and the assignment that I give you. This stuff is very relevant. People can come to know the Lord because we pursue him for this kind of stuff. But the only way it gets perverted is if we do it for the wrong reason. That's the way, that's without love. Love is for the benefit of somebody else. If you do it without love, which we're all growing in, so you're never going to be perfect in love. Oh, am I perfect in love yet? I don't know if I really should pursue God for this. Listen, pursue and grow in character right alongside. How about that? How about you go for both and not one or the other? Is that good for you? I like that. Because I don't know about you, but we're all in this process of growth, and there's no reason to feel guilty about where you're not if the whole point of your life is to help and serve and love on other people. There's no reason to feel guilty about where you're not. You don't really grow in guilt or through guilt or by guilt. Guilt just plain sucks. And Jesus paid a high price so that we could be free from our guilt and move on with him. I shouldn't be doing what I'm doing, but because of the grace of God, I get to stand in front of people and help them see some of these things, and then they can move forward in ministry to bless people. I don't deserve this. I don't understand it, but I'm just going to receive it so that other people can be helped. It's not about me. It's not about what I get to do. It's just about receiving and then giving. That's the whole point of spiritual gifts. It's awesome. I think you think that. But anyways, that's my whole point. Prophecy is future. So let's sort of do, let's do something that we can't do. Is there another pen in the house of the Lord, this chapel here? So sorry, that wasn't at you, Mary. That was just where some of the youth sit over in that section, and they're going to try to pick it up and try to draw on the chairs, and they won't be able to because it doesn't work. Awesome. Did you just pull that out of your purse? Got a jelly pack, fresh, ready. So here we go. How do you spell knowledge, dude? I forgot. You know what? If you say something mean about me, you can just leave. All right, this is gonna help you. I promise it will help you. Well, it'll help one of you at least. At least this is sort of how my mind works. I don't know if yours is gonna work the same as mine, but I hope you at least get what I'm laying down here. Okay, so let me give you for an example, okay? If you don't know how this works, you're gonna miss some stuff. I guarantee it. I've watched it happen time and time and time again. You want to grow in hearing the voice of God, you have to understand this because you're going to minister to people. And when you get in front of somebody, the Lord will show you stuff. I guarantee you that's the way it works. He's going to show you things. And a lot of times what I notice the Lord do is he'll start showing me something about the person. I don't try to read anybody. That's why I close my eyes a lot. When I keep my eyes open, it's usually when I'm doing it in front of a group. But when I'm just with a small group of people, not a larger group, then I try to close my eyes just so I can tune in to hear. God will give me an impression. He'll give me a vision. He'll give me a thought. He'll give me a scripture. This is the way the Lord speaks to me, different times for different people. It's his purposes. I don't know what the rhyme or reason behind each time. But he'll usually show me something, and I'm just going to give you like a for instance, okay? So I shared a story on Sunday about the Lord showing me a vision. I had a vision. I was praying for a gal. She came up for prayer. And in this vision, I saw like a Seattle Times newspaper, okay? And in the and there was her picture was on the front page, and then below it said, written by, right? So there's a writer that wrote the story, and then there's a picture of the story itself. So this was her picture, and there was this story that was written about her, and then it was written by a name that I didn't recognize, nor could I read it, okay? And I read the first line of the story, and it talked a little bit about her past, and it was something that she had done when she was younger, and I couldn't read the full thing, and I don't remember exactly the issue, but I think it had to do with sexual arena, okay? And this somehow had gotten found out by somebody else, and it exposed her as being something she wasn't, but she had made a mistake. But this whole write-up, you know, thing, and she sort of owned this this story that somebody else had written. I won't get farther into it other than that, but this is what I saw, okay? And so I'm sitting there with this, and she's in front of me, and I know that this is a past. So here's what I saw her. I saw her. I saw a picture of something she had done. Okay, so I'm just gonna immorality. I'm just gonna put immorality. I saw this picture about what something she had done in the past. I didn't have the full scope of what it was, but I read the first line, and so I received that, and then this is what I do. I share that with her. I go, the Lord showed me a vision. And in this particular instance, which I'll talk to you about visions and interpretation next week, that would be fun, because a lot of people don't understand interpretation, which makes it hard to minister the full benefit to somebody else. But it takes a long time. I'm still learning tons of stuff as I go, and I've done this for a while. So you get it as you go. You got to do it a lot, though, to understand it. Like, just got to become more normal. But I shared with her, the actual vision because I thought it would be beneficial. Sometimes it's not beneficial. The vision that you see for somebody, it makes no sense at all. You just need to know the interpretation of it and share the interpretation, because if you don't, then you'll confuse them. But that's another night. So I said, hey, I just feel like the Lord showed me that you, in your past, there's things that you've done in this arena that have caused you quite a bit of shame. They've been found out by somebody that exposed you improperly, and it caused you guilt and quite a bit of shame, and that you've been carrying that. Do you see how I shared with her past? Like, remember Jesus said, you've had 5 husbands, right? This is the past stuff. And then she busted out in tears and the whole deal, right? So now I'm delicately talking with her about what's next and what's going on. Now, it's easy. Here's what a lot of people do. They'll go straight to comfort, right? When somebody cries in front of you, what do you typically want to do? You want to make them feel better, right? And that's who we are. We have, if you have compassion in your heart and somebody is obviously hurting, you want to comfort them. But when you're ministering, if God's showing you supernatural stuff, you don't want to stop at what was true about somebody. Okay? You want to ask God to show you what is true and what he wants to do in their life now that you know this. He's not showing you this to give you information so that she can cry. That brought a wound up. He opened the door with the word of knowledge. The word of knowledge, usually what it does is it opens the door. Let's just call it the door opener, okay? Because let me ask you, why is it important outside of the issue, the obvious issue of sin, somebody's sin rising to the top so things could be dealt with in the light, which happens very rarely, but why would it be important to tell somebody that you know about something that stinks in their past? It's not that important, right? That can actually hurt people if it's not handled properly, because now you've brought something up. They've acknowledged by their actions and or their words that it's true, and now you know what they didn't want other people to know. They may not come to church next week. What if it backfires on you? See what I'm saying? And then you go to comfort them, and really there's no amount of comfort because they've been trying to stuff that down. So right then, when you're receiving something like this, like this vision, you need to know what the Lord is saying. He's showing you this about her past, but he's saying something about her future, because this is hindering her future. Clear? Okay. So now the next thing you're doing is you're like, Lord, I want to know. It's yes, by the way, but you were close. Now I want to know what exactly the Lord is saying. And so I pressed in. This is what I do every time. I say, Lord, what are you showing me this for? What do you want me to tell her? And the Lord, just in my mind, I start getting these thoughts about what this fully means. This is what she did. This is what happened as a result of it, and I want her to, and then as I'm pressing in, as I'm praying, and I don't go right into comfort, I just see a new picture in this vision, and then I see a new story getting written by God and the finger of God about who she's called to be and what she's called to be. And then as I start speaking that over her, I say, you know, God has a new identity for you. The past he wants to heal. And I start prophesying into her future. This is who you're called to be. This is what God is saying about who you are. And just several things. And I, to be honest with you, I can't even remember all the things that I shared with her. But there were several things that I start speaking into her heart to build her up into what God wants for her life and what he sees for her life. And the crying stops. She's getting encouraged. And I'm like, is this making sense? She said, yes, this is making sense. So she doesn't leave with the shame that she's felt before. She leaves with the hope and the inspiration of what God wants to produce in her life, right? So what God sees. Or this is like faith catapult. I like that. Faith catapult. But if you don't move from here to here, okay, then you're not going to be that helpful telling people that you know stuff. It's not going to be very helpful. And quite frankly, if prophetic gifts or gifts in general are all about helping people, then we need to know how they function. That's the whole purpose of this. We don't teach a lot of this. You don't hear a lot of this stuff because people, I don't think, get down to the simplicity of how it really works. Now, here's the deal. What's really cool about that is look what's in the middle. What do you see that's a gap of what I did for her? The wisdom. Now, how would the wisdom sort of apply? What's the gap here? What's the gap between what was and what is? What do I do? Do you see how these work together? This is really good stuff. None of you are like, I would be that. I mean, if I were you, I'd be like, man, this is amazing stuff. So here you are, you're in front of somebody and you're praying with them and you get the opportunity to ask God, what's the next step? This is the prayer that I pray for people all the time. God, what is the next step for this person? And I say it to them sometimes, God wants to reveal a next step to you right now. Let's pray and ask him to give us a word of wisdom about where you're supposed to go or how you're supposed to step into this for healing to arise in your heart so that you can walk in the identity that God's clearly speaking over your life. And so these things can function together, but you need to know that they do, okay? Now, I'm not saying that God won't give these individually, because he will. But if you can learn, one of the classes that I teach and we'll do at I think it's the last session that we do, is how to minister to somebody. Because there's words that you use, there's words that you don't use. There's a lot of things that people use that's just, we just want to chuck that out the window. It's baggage. We don't need to be using those kind of that kind of terminology. It doesn't help. You want to learn to be yourself. You want to learn to use the kind of terms that are normal for people to understand. You want to be able to pray with people and help them along. And I have learned, one of the things that I say to people is, what is the next step for you? And sometimes God's speaking that wisdom into their mind right then, and he doesn't give it to you. And so when you're working with people and you're ministering to them, it might take 15 minutes, but quite frankly, if you want to help people, it's going to take some time. Do you know that some people don't serve or move forward in life because they're just bound up by what they've done? Right? And you can do something about that. But it's going to take some time. So if you walk into church and you sit, you listen, and you say hi to some people and then you leave, you're probably not going to help anybody. It's easy to get discontent with your church experience if you come and just take whatever happens. I'm not throwing guilt on you, I'm just saying. What if you went into church, you sat next to somebody, you sat somewhere different every time, and your point wasn't just to get a good sermon on, but you're praying for the person next to you. And when we do the handshaking, you sincerely walk next to that person and say, hey, by the way, I was just over here and I just was asking the Lord to show me something for you sitting next, as I was sitting next to you. And he showed me that, I felt like he showed me that you were in a tight spot financially. And I was asking him to be able to release you so that you could make some progress with maybe your business or your place of employment, or maybe you're seeking a transition. And so I was praying for you that God would do that. And I felt that there was a promise for you to discover in the Word, maybe even during the service today. And he wants to help you walk this out so that your finances are better in order. And that, I mean, what if that's what you did? What if the Lord showed you that somebody was in a financial turmoil? Real simple. This isn't like super high level. Financial turmoil, and that the Lord wanted to do something about that. You didn't exactly know what it was, but generally speaking, you felt the Lord's heart to want to help them through that. That's still prophetic. The Lord wants to help you through the financial difficulty he showed me that you were in. And so if you'd let me, I'd like to pray with you about what the next step, or maybe what he wants to do about it. Or I feel like maybe the Lord will speak to you. Watch this. You put the word of wisdom on them. I feel like the Lord might want to speak to you today during the service sometime, maybe just in your heart or during the service, about what he'll do about that. But I just wanted to bless you, and I hope you have a great day. That's it. And if they have a genuine experience, you got to be used by the Lord, and you're not a sitter anymore. You don't complain about what others do or don't do. You are taking action because it's your faith, it's your mouth, and it's your heart getting exercised towards the people around you. I don't wait for people, right? Like, for example, on Sunday morning, we have the Connect Corner at our church, the pastor's corner. I don't like going into the pastor's corner when I speak because people walk by me and they don't want to talk. I don't know if it's that they're intimidated, or I'm not sure what the problem is, but Chris, our pastor, he gets everybody comes up to him at the Connect Corner. Everybody connects with Chris. There's a whole line and everything. People don't line up for me. And I told them, I was like, don't say anything about the Connect Corner. I don't wait for people to come to me. I go to people. It's just who I am. So that's what I do. If I see somebody sitting, I walk straight up to them. That's exactly who I am. I will sit next to the oddest person or the most just alienated person in the room, whether that's because that's what they're doing to themselves or they don't know how to interact. That's just who I am. I don't let people come up to me. I go to them. That's a whole different way of living out your faith, but that's faith. Step into something. Ask, put yourself in a place where God, where you need something from God, and then this is how you minister. You know what he gives, and you know how to take next steps, and you're asking him to show you what's next for people or what he wants to do in people's lives. Does this make sense? Past, present, future. Usually with me, it works. God gives me something about somebody's past. He'll show me again about their future based on their past. Here's what he wants to do, bring them out of that into this. And I usually get the wisdom part last, if at all. Make sense? And so this is how it works.